May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The parables of the seed and the soil and the grain of mustard seed are so familiar to all of us. They are part of a collection of parables that have something to do with nature. Now, it shouldn't really come as a surprise to us that Jesus would have taught in this way, since, of course, he was living and teaching in an agricultural society. So important are these little parables that they are placed very near the beginning of Jesus' ministry in the Gospels of Mark, Matthew, and Luke. These stories, drawn from the real-life experience of the people, have something to say to us about the kingdom of God. God's kingdom, God's reign, God's presence breaks onto the human stage in unexpected ways and often in some very unsuspecting people. Take the story of the appointment of David as king over Israel as a case in point. No one expected that the young lad who was tending the sheep would be the anointed one. I wonder what the brothers thought. But here is the tough part. It's not in our control. That's what they learned as well, though we are very much part of it. So these little stories today say something about God and God's providence. They also say something about us. When a farmer scattered seed, the farmer did so in abundance, walking very carefully along a narrow pathway, scattering the seed generously so it would have the best chance. Then, as those who are gardeners know, it was a waiting game. In the absence of modern irrigation, the reliance was totally on the gift of rain and just the right amount, something we are longing for in this part of the world at this time. Who can tell for sure what the results of this sowing will be? The picture is of a pioneer farmer scattering seeds generously on the ground, just as the farmers did in the fields that surrounded this city at one time. Much of the seed would be lost, and so many things interfere with its growth. And so the sower has to be a person of great patience. But the sower must also be a person of certain abandon, which is to say there is a tenacity, there is a liberality in God, which is perhaps hard for us to imagine, never mind to match. We also need to consider the seed. Every caregiver, every teacher, every person who is working for a better society, for justice and peace, will understand this picture. Those engaged in such tasks are sowing seeds and hoping for some results. But often we cannot tell if anything has been accomplished at all by our immediate efforts. We do our work often without the opportunity to measure our results. Now let's take the image of the seed and see it as the Word of God. The seed of the Word can seem so vulnerable and fragile. The church seems to have such a slim chance against the powers and principalities of the world. Its witness often seems to be as lost as a sigh in the wind. How shall things like love, joy, peace, freedom, how shall those things survive? With so much working against it, so many distractions, so many competing forces, what chance has the way of Christ, the way of love, to flourish in our midst? Yet we know the seed is amazingly tough. The church and God's people beyond the church have been divided and rent asunder in so many ways. In the church, by internal discord, and by theological and political interference for centuries. Yet in every age, including our own, the power of the faith to survive, the power of the good news to somehow still speak and cause transformation is remarkable. The seed, you see, is tenacious. As we continue to make our way through COVID tide, looking ahead to coming back to in-person worship, many are frankly wondering about the future of our parishes. Yes, we face uncertainty, but one thing we do know: the Spirit of God is alive and well, and many are longing to come back. As we prepare for that, I think we must ask ourselves a few questions. What do we want to take with us? What do we want to leave behind? How can we tune ourselves to the Word, to the prompting of the Spirit, so that we can grow and flourish in the time that is ahead of us? You know, you never can tell where the Spirit of God is operating and by what means God chooses to influence people. Let us be glad that the seed of the good news is not our creation, nor is it dependent upon our skills or our sowing alone. It is something committed to us by God. It is God's seed and God's word. We are invited by God to participate in the work of creation and recreation. And one thing we learn from these parables today is that we do not do this in isolation, nor is it for ourselves alone. The little mustard seed, the tiniest of all seeds, becomes the largest shrub so that the birds can make their nests in it. Here is a little clue that connects this parable with several Old Testament passages where trees are used as grand, dramatic metaphors for the kingdom of God. In the book of the prophet Ezekiel, Israel as a nation of people is depicted as a noble cedar tree. In the shade of its branches will nest winged creatures of every kind. Assyria and Babylonia are both portrayed using the metaphor of a cedar tree, lofty and proud, in whose branches the birds of the air are nested, but whose pride will lead to their downfall. And the righteous person who trusts in God is compared in the Psalms and in Jeremiah to a flourishing tree. Jesus himself says, "I am the vine, you are the branches." All of which is to say that from the tiny mustard seed comes a living environment that sustains life in all its diversity. The humble mustard seed, which becomes a shrub, could perhaps make us think about God's care for us like a flourishing tree. Or it could turn our minds to the fact that the mustard shrub is not going to be like the mighty trees or empires of former times, which grew through power and often through violence. The kingdom of God, the reign of God, the presence of God breaks in to bring and to sustain wholesome life with all its color, uniqueness, and diversity. It is unified in Christ alone. It's grace that brings the whole thing together. None of this is easy work. For David, as king, it meant accepting a responsibility within his own young vulnerability. For God, it meant submitting himself to his own creation in the person of his Son. And for us, it means trying over and over and over again to grow in our relationship with the Son, with Jesus, so that the soil will be ready, not just for the wheat, but for the abundance of life that the kingdom offers. That work of listening, of learning, of growing takes humility, it takes time, and it takes trust. Every farmer knows that they will lose some seed in the planting, but the farmer does not despair of a good harvest. With patience, the seed will grow. If the soil will take the seed in and keep it and care for it, the crops will eventually come. The kingdom will be known. No one learns to live the Christian life instantly. We need patience with others and perseverance in dealing with our own slow progress. So many of us get discouraged by our failures and we give up trying. Well, these parables today are also here to tell you and to tell me that we do not need to be discouraged, even in the toughest of times. The spiritual life is a cultivated life. It takes perseverance, and it can come to us in so many different ways and people. We just need eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to learn. So let us be patient with one another, and let us be patient with the church. Let us be faithful in our cultivation, looking to the Creator of all for the final harvest, the tree of life, God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. For the fact of the matter is, the harvest is not ours to make. The kingdom is not ours to own. It belongs to God, and so do we. We should never, ever forget that, nor should we ever be discouraged. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.